then he wound up on a tree outside of the holy city, whilst the religious people of the day were having their what, Sunday morning worship service, the Passover feast. And that they took him down and put him in a grave, another man's grave, and that's the end of that. I didn't understand that. I can understand a man like Thomas. He was not credulous. He didn't believe just everything he heard. That's good. But there came a time in his experience when he said, "My Lord and my God." I understand that. But what passes all reason and is beyond the understanding of anybody is men and women who with our heads say we believe that God Almighty invaded this world, that Jesus Christ was all man and all God, that in the most classic few verses ever written by God or man, we are told that God was in Christ. I cannot understand anybody who can talk in language like that. Not be giving himself in a constant bowing to his authority, leaning utterly upon him for all of our hope and time and eternity. What I'm trying to say is, when we open the pages of the book, every line of which has meaning as it refers to this God-man. There's no middle ground. There's no in-between. There's no second-hand following. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. He's either all man, he's either very God, or he's a fool and a maniac and a devil. I hear a lot about the grace of God when I come to Ashland. I don't know whether I know much about that meaning or not, but surely it means a little bit. If God weren't a God of all long-suffering and mercy and grace, surely he wouldn't put up with us peddling around making out like we actually believe that Jesus is God. Somehow or another, if we could believe that, that would settle everything between the eternities. There'd been nothing worth talking about in the same breath. The privilege, for it is a privilege, to be rightly related to the God of all the earth, to live in his world, going in his direction, under his favor, enjoying his presence. Isn't that a privilege? convicted. That most of us haven't the slightest idea of what it means to be committed. Utterly to Jesus Christ. It must be the most tremendous thing between the eternities. It can't be anything less. If the Jews were right that Christ was just the son of David, could understand it. But if the rebuke is, if he's just David's son, why does David call him Lord? Leaves no middle ground. 7 times in the last book of the Bible, titles are given the Lord. They're different Greek words, and they're pronounced the use of different vowels and consonants, but every one of them speaks of the one who demands absolute loyalty. Absolute submission to his authority. There is no middle ground. Some of us long for revival and wonder if we'll ever see it. What would revival be? It would be a line of demarcation. And this stuff that we call salvation, there'd be no room for it. Men and women would line up, brother, and take sides. There would be men and women spitting their venom against the claims of God in Christ, not claiming to accept him and violating every claim he made. There'd be others who might light a torch to build a fire to light the way for some of us weak ones to get in the march on the side of God and his Son. And when you open the pages of the Bible and read the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, they draw a line so clear that there's no room for anybody in the middle. It's take sides. Suppose some of these days you invite me back and I got on Brother Mahan's program and said, Ralph Barnard's come to town. I want the people of Ashland to listen to me. For unto me has been committed the absolute supreme authority of the heavens in the realm of morals. That from now on out, every human being in Ashland, Kentucky, if he's got sense enough to come in out of the rain, will come to me when there's a question of right or wrong. It'd be some claim for a man to make, wouldn't it? And if Jesus is only a man, he's to be pitied and ridiculed and blasphemed. For the only Jesus this world's got the slightest record of that he ever existed made exactly that claim. That he and he alone a man to make that claim. Brands himself as a madman. Only God can make that claim and not be foolish when he makes it. Here's one answer in the realm of morals and conduct. Of course, it's ignored today when from the pulpits we have what we call the new morality. If you haven't read that book, you ought to. It'll make your hair stand up on your head, written by a bishop of a church. The new morality. Out the window. All standards. All do's and don'ts. And to that, we turn to the Word of God. And hear a man. But it was more than a man. Save her. But unto you, and that must settle it. God knows that must be the standard once again in our land. Anybody that make claims that he alone decides what's right, what's wrong, which course to go and which course not to go, deserves our ridicule. Or it deserves our coming to and opening the pages of this book to find out the standards of human conduct. Suppose I came back to Ashland, got on the radio, and said I've just come from heaven. And I'm going back. I'm from above. Just from headquarters. Yes, since they had an all-night prayer meeting out for me, out in the state of Oklahoma, praying for me. Praying that I would get my eyes open. If I didn't, that God would kill me. I had rebuked a preacher who got up, had me a woman preacher. Advertised for the people to come on and give a night that the Lord Jesus Christ in person had just come and made her a visit and given us some revelation and some instruction for the people. And the people came from far and near. I don't believe that. But I do believe that one day, when heaven was filled with his praises, Jesus came down to be born of a virgin. A man who made the claim that my Lord made in John's gospel. Just come from heaven. A little while I'm going back. If he's just a man, he's a madman. Only God can make that kind of a claim. Suppose I came to Ashland, got on Brother Mahan's radio, and I said, "Hear me! Your salvation wrapped up in my death and resurrection. Your salvation is wrapped up in my death and resurrection. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must Rothbard be lifted up, crucified, buried, and risen. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Suppose I made that statement. Be foolish, wouldn't it? And if Jesus were just a man to claim that the salvation or the damnation of every human being from Adam to the last is wrapped up in one relationship to Him, in His death and resurrection. That's the claim of a fool or a devil or a madman. Or it's the claim that must not be taken for granted nor stopped in the dust. It's the claim of Almighty God. I know these are truths that we believed in our head for years. I wish we'd get them in our hearts. The most insulting thing Ralph Barnett could do is just a man. Say, listen here, Mr. Man from Huntington, your eternal salvation is in connection with your relationship to me. Why, that just out of this world. Mr. Lewis is right. We do not have the option of calling Jesus a good man. That's all he was. He's just a devil. No, he's God. That great is the mystery of the gospel of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Such statements like that, God knows if we could believe them. Everything else is settled. Suppose I came to Ash and got on Brother Mahan's radio and said, I want you folks to listen to me. All judgment and the authority to carry it out, to execute it, has been turned over to me. I'll do the deciding now. I'll do all the judging from now on. And I've got authority. I've got the power to enforce my judgment. But Jesus made that claim. The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. And later on in that fifth chapter of John, it given him authority to execute judgment. That's some claim. Fellow's going to decide about you is Jesus, he claims. The fellow that's got authority to enforce his judgment, Jesus said, I'm the one, I'm the only one. You just can't have this nice little Jesus that's a nice little fellow today and everybody kind of likes it. There ain't no such animal. He comes with a totalitarian claim. They can be refused. They can be acknowledged. Suppose I came to Kentucky and got on Brother Mahan's radio. Lots of people listened to it. And I said, Ralph Barnett's in town. I've been made prime minister of everything that goes on in heaven and earth. Almighty God. Everybody believes in him now. 99% of Americans say they believe there's a God. Everybody believes in God. And I've come down to tell you that I've just been made the prime minister. Everything runs through me now. You go through channels if you get to God. The Father loveth the Son. John 3:35, and hath given all things unto him. I'm the prime minister. Everything that goes on, I run it. It's under my control. Jesus made that claim. You just can't have this nice little popular Jesus of this hour. He's either a devil, for he's the God man. And everything's in his control. Suppose I came to Ashland, got on the radio, and said, listen to me. hold your destiny in my hand. When the final analysis has been made, the big question of all questions, where will you spend eternity? That question will be answered by me. A lady came up to me in Texas the other day, Sunday school teacher, and she was trembling with hardly holding the Bible in her hands. She was greatly disturbed. She said, "Brother Barnum, what on earth to do?" Said, "I've been trying to teach the Bible Sunday school class." She said, "You've torn up everything I've ever been taught, everything I believe." I said, "Well, sister, I don't see how I could do all that damage." But she said, "Oh," and she wasn't mad. She was torn all to pieces. She said, "Where are some of the scriptures you quote so much?" She'd been Bible teaching, but she never had run across them. And we turned. Finally, we got to the 5th chapter of John. And I said, "Just read it there. Maybe I don't know how to interpret it. If I don't, for God's sake, you find out. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Then I said, "Read verse 26. And she read, she said, I didn't know these were in the Bible. I said, "These, he's just asking about these." They are. I tell you what's fact. If Jesus just a nice fella, good example, going to pay him a little homage, going to be nice to it, for him to make a statement, "As the Father raises the dead and quickeneth whom he will, even so the Son give life." He claims that life is his to give. And verse 26 says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." He's the best. That's what to say, he is the best man that ever lived. The liberals, the modernists, the neo-orthodox are saying now that he is the man in whom you see more of God than any man that ever lived, and all that trash. But he claims that he has life in himself, and there's no life anywhere else. What a claim. What a claim! My goodness, a little old confession or a decision or a feeling won't get the job done when you face the fact that you live in a spiritual cemetery and the only life is in Christ. And to claim to be saved because you've made a profession is the silliest thing this side of hell. A man's not saved until he's connected with the breath line, and the life of God begins to flow in him, and it's in Christ's hands. It's in Christ's hands. Oh, my soul. These claims of the Lord, they just will not give us any middle ground. It's everything or nothing. It's total submission, or it's nothing. Suppose I came to Ash and got up on the radio and claimed that I'd come down here from heaven to get you. I wasn't after your money, already had that. I wasn't after your time, your breath's already in my hands. I wasn't trying to make you good. I'm trying to make you moral. I came to get you. Make you mine. Make you mine. I came demanded. You. You. I don't want your profession, I'm after you. I don't want your decision, I'm after you. I didn't come down here to improve you, I came down here to get you. Make you mine. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, make you my body. Those are profound things. There is no place for a person who tries to settle with God by giving him something. He didn't come for what you've got, he came for you. And what on God's earth he wants with us. But he didn't leave heaven, come down here to do but one thing. That's get you. And he'll settle for nothing but you. Not a little of your time. Not a little of your influence. You. You. He didn't come down here to redeem money. He came down here to redeem men. To buy men. And make them his own. Especially on the South, not yet quite forgotten the days of slavery. People say, now listen here, Mr. Barnum. You think I'm going to turn myself over lock, stock, and barrel to you, and I can't even call myself any longer. I'm not my own, belong to another. You crazy. That's what the Lord said. I'm after you, bud. This world is rotting today because men and women are seeking to render the God everything except the one thing he's after and demands. And that's how I say it. This won't work. This won't work. Over in the islands over the holidays, I had the privilege of preaching on 2 or 3 islands where they've never known anything except subjection. I preached on one island. They used to, nobody on it, and the slave traders would get in trouble, afraid they're going to get caught, and they'd dump off their slaves, leaving that island to eat anything else so they wouldn't get caught with them. How that island came into being. You go over there and preach after submission. They understand that they've been under somebody always. But in America, men and women in the church and I will say, listen here, preacher, we will not have God or anybody else dictating to us. We Americans, we are under a democratic government. We believe in every man for himself, and it's difficult to preach the truth that God is sovereign in his demands to this generation of bewildered, confused people in America that have been fed such a terrible, terrible doctrine of lies about how big we are. But the Lord claims you. He won't settle for anything except you. I am not one whit interested in the good things you say you do or the bad things you say you don't. The one thing of all things is who do you belong to? That's it. These other things, they just breed proud pride. Is not settled. My Lord came after you. And in response to the claims of King Jesus, while he's here, the Father has made his, he's rendered his first. And he's turned the conduct of the human race over exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody, everything, for time and eternity, been turned over to of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father has channeled all his love and favor toward sinful mankind in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing but wrath for the best man that ever lived, God's wrath. Outside of Jesus Christ, it is true God loves with pity all men, but a God who loves all men, who's not willing, he doesn't get tickled at men perish, it's still true that all his saving love and redeeming grace is narrowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside Christ, nothing but judgment, nothing but wrath. And it is true that the Father has given to the Lord Jesus Christ the sole power and authority to give life to dead men. When I was a student, Fort Worth, Texas, 1928 to 30, a few years ago, I just went there fresh from having a big ministry in an oil town. I was a big shot. And I ran into those old professors, and every one of them believed the Bible. And the first two or three classes, I got in systematic theology. They handed me a textbook written by the man who's teaching the class. I'd like to put me out of business. And the title of it, Brother Henry has the book in his library, Election, God's Purpose in Redemption. You talk about getting floored, that floored me. And I wrestled with that dear professor for some months. Everything he taught just ruined me. I could not take it. I couldn't take it. And I'd ask him questions, and he very gently answered. I used to go up and say, am I making myself just a fool? He said, no, no, keep on asking. I could not take what he taught. Nobody else can either, brother. Nobody else. One day I was down in this part of the city of Fort Worth, Texas, browsing around an old secondhand bookstore, and I bought a book of sermons for a dime by Dr. B.H. Carroll, the founder of that seminary, dead long since. And in that book was a sermon from the book of John, chapter 5, which reads like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, of God, and they that hear shall live. Brother Carroll, preaching in his church in Waco, Texas, on the voice of authority. There's just one voice, not two, just one. If Jesus is just a man, there isn't any. If Jesus is still in the grave, there isn't anybody to speak with authority. Your opinion's as good as mine. You may live a little better life than I do, not much. But Mr. Carroll sat there in the voice, and it's still speaking. And that voice has authority in it. And when that voice speaks, dead men hear and live. Spiritually dead men. I can quote the sentence that was pleased God to use to unravel my theology and help me a little bit to understand what I've been seeking to preach ever since. I can quote verbatim the words of the blessed man. The preacher said, I well know that if my voice be the only voice you hear in this service tonight, you'll go away just like you came. But if in the providence of a sovereign God, you shall hear His voice through my voice. If you hear His voice, you'll live. That's it. That's the doctrine of election. That's the whole outline. There is a voice. And it's the only voice that a sinner dare put in and trust in. A man can wash behind his ears, roll up his sleeves and make resolutions, make tremendous decisions and do many things. But men and women need some power greater than to give them a happy life. You can't do it yourself. And there's one who has authority in his voice to say, Lazarus, even a dead man will come to life. There is one who has authority to say to the man with the wrist, the hand he'd never been able to use, stretch forth the hand. Of course, anybody knows that a man with a withered arm couldn't do it. But bless God, he did, because he was addressed by one in whose voice there is authority. And a man with a withered hand under orders from him can do it. And a dead man can get out of his grave when that voice speaks. A person said to me one time, that's a very pessimistic doctrine. I said, no, sir. It tells you that there ain't but one place to look. But thank God there's one. Thank God there's one. There is one who can give life to dead men. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one, but bless God, there's one. And I beg men and women to get the wax out of their ears and begin to listen to the God who speaketh from heaven. It's the only voice that's got authority to give life to dead men. Listen.